We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Thanks for joining me for another Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com. Really appreciate all of you joining us. If you haven't done so, if you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please do so. Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And please rate and review the show. And, of course, you can find all of our programming, CannabisRadio.com. Before we get to our featured guests, let's go ahead and talk once again about our sponsor, the Buzz CRM, which I've been talking about for a couple of weeks now. It's a wonderful feature. You know, our team here at Cannabis Radio, we regularly go ahead and use the platform for all of our services. But it's also amazing on how many people we get to adopt the software every single day that are just amazed by how much is being taken off their plate in terms of their marketing and all their issues they have to be able to go and push out and connect the customers with SMS, email, social media, more, tracking your success with detailed analytics or reporting. We all want the numbers. Everybody wants, what's our ROI? What's our ROI? We need the numbers. Here's the figures. And also effortless automation. You have AI that handles email, social media, and customer inquiries 24/7. Got a chatbot widget. Wouldn't it be nice to go and have all that support help and not have to go and worry about it? It's all able to go and be customizable. It'll understand what it needs to do to help out as much as possible with your customers working on your wonderful brand new solution for marketing with multiple marketing tools, no expensive subscriptions, the Buzz CRM. It's an all-in-one solution, 500 tools to manage every aspect of your marketing opportunities that are out there to get your product out there to be sold and pushed. So whether you're a med spa, e-market store, e-commerce store, or franchise, you got to go look at the Buzz CRM. It's covered with a single affordable plan. One price fits all. Get more bang for your buck and boost your marketing ROI. TheBuzzCRM.com. Get yourself a free trial right now. TheBuzzCRM.com. TheBuzzCRM.com. Now, on to my guest, who's here to go ahead and address it. By the way, we've had this company on several times here on the program. You might remember we had Ben Bernstein here on the program from the group called LeafLink, where they're offering right now into a new platform. We're going to learn about the nation's largest wholesale platform. They recently launched a new platform, which is a payment on sell through, deploying the consignment style model found in natural or mature retail industries to cannabis, and helps brands or suppliers provide products to dispensaries on consignment and are guaranteed payment for the products that sell. And for retailers, it frees up capital currently tied up in product on the shelves. And in addition to the guaranteed payment, brands get real-time insight into the products that are selling best, helping them fine-tune their operations. With me to go and talk about that is LeafLink's Chief Product Officer, Matt Hutchinson. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me, Brasco. Really excited to chat today. The payment on sell-through product you mentioned, we'll get into some of the details on it, but really it's rooted in trying to solve what I think is maybe one of the biggest challenges of the industry in the delinquency and payments and accounts receivable space that spans up and down the supply chain.
So when we were first addressed about bringing you on, one of the figures that's brought out there and been published is that there are $3.8 billion in unpaid bills holding back the entire industry, and that that's a solution that your team decided to go and create, which is, again, payment on sell-through, modeled after other successful systems. And what can you tell me in terms of all about the unpaid bills and trying to get those handled? Because, you know, I'm sure every company has to have something like that that they deal with right now. And what is it that LeafLink thought they could do with this program, with this platform?
Yeah, I mean, the $3.8 billion figure that you're listing, you know, I believe is from Whitney Economics at the end of 2023. And they, in that same article, expect it to actually grow another close to $500 million to $4.2 over the course of this year. Wow. And it's pretty wild when you dig into the data a layer deeper. It really is something that matriculates up the supply chain, in that, you know, the retailer struggles to pay the manufacturer, processor, distributor, who then in turn struggles to pay the cultivation. And then as you go further and further back in the supply chain, the margins get slimmer and slimmer, and ultimately the dollars themselves are more and more impactful. And so the way that we looked at it was that if we can actually solve at the point of retail some of those challenges, then it actually starts to unlock a lot of the cash flow that's being tied up across the industry. You know, it's funny, you know, in some of the conversations, it's really viewed as one of the most, if not the most impactful to people being able to service their own, you know, their accounts receivables collections problem. You know, it's one of the most impactful things to being able to service their own debt terms and being able to pay their own bills. And so, you know, some of the data from that report is super powerful. And then, you know, to talk to some of the people like, you know, some of the different collections agency, just to validate a lot of those data points, really is at the core of what we're trying to solve. And it, I do want to clarify, it's not a consignment program. You know, the buyer side is required to pay those bills. But there's very much a shared alignment and incentive structure to accelerate the payment of those based on what's selling through.
So now what's being done here as a solution is that the using this payment system here with Post is guaranteed to the brand, the supplier, who receives automated weekly payments based on the prior week's sell through by the retailer. And this is an idea that can help. You're trying to go and find a way to stop any issues with delinquent payments. More, not so much a transparency issue, but also just trying to follow through, it feels like, more so that there are bills and there are payments that are going to go through that are not going to be missed. Now, what is it doing on the retailer side to go and make sure that those payments are being made?
Yeah. So a few things, right? I think you touched on pretty well. So the retailer today, if you go and talk to a lot of them, they have a lot of uncertainty in their demand. Different things can change on an instant, whether it's a strike that happens nearby at a plant facility could actually slow down the traffic at the end of the day from people commuting in and out of work. Things that people don't really think about quite often. And when you don't have the steady understanding and the ability to forecast what your sales are actually going to be, you ultimately can find yourself upside down in terms of the inventory that you have on the shelf versus you know, what's actually going to sell through, and then ultimately your ability to pay your vendors. And so what payment on sell through does is it actually marries the cash flow to the retailer to the cash outflow from the retailer to the brand. And so as a retailer, I now have the ability to sell through that product before I'm actually paying for it and share that visibility to my brands upstream, so that they can understand what type of marketing they should be doing in that local area, what products are or are not selling well at my store, why are they not selling well, and then start to have more meaningful conversations with the retailer, with the buyer, with the bud tenders, to understand what they can actually do to move that product. At the end of the day, nobody wants stale inventory. The retailers don't want it. The brands don't want it. Consumers definitely don't want it. And so the sooner that you can identify where those things are happening, the better off you're able to be actually, you know, solve the challenges of the business. And so what we've seen is by doing that, we've actually alleviated a lot of the cash flow, I'll call it bottlenecks that happen at the retail point. We enable the brands that do the best jobs selling product to the getting consumers to the store. You know, they get paid first, right? And so we're creating an aligned incentive structure between the retailer and the seller, whether it's a brand, manufacturer, cultivator, and by enabling that that expedited cash flow that happens there.
Now, one of the things I think about with this platform as well is a lot of companies are probably having a lot of issue when it comes to me. I mean, not having really an in-house accountant and applying and hopefully thinking that the point of sale systems they have in place, some of these systems they have right now for seed-to-sale tracking, that they are thinking that hopefully that's going to take care of it. But there are nooks in the cranny. They're finding out there are holes in the system that are missing out on those. So is that something you're looking at where it's kind of trying to be that support from an accounting perspective to make sure there are payments that do not get missed?
100%. And, you know, if you talk to, we spend a lot of time talking to buyers and accounts payable teams, just given kind of where we sit. We have a guy on my team who's, you know, just a really comes from the buying background, really brilliant guy. And he, one of the things he's continued to make clear to us is there is this weird natural tension that occurs between the accounts payable team and the buyer. The buyer wants to make sure that their suppliers are getting paid quickly so that they can keep their sales reps happy, so that they have the best product on the shelves. They're told about drops. They have marketing incentives, et cetera. But there's this weird disconnect between what I buy and what I pay for because it's done by two separate people who have two entirely different sets of systems that they're working across. And so LeafLink has been focusing really, really heavily on actually bridging that gap. We've built out functionality inherent to this post solution that is also applicable to any time where you decide to pay through LeafLink that essentially performs what we call the three-way match. It's, you know, pretty common in more traditional industries where you're looking at, here's what I ordered on a purchase order. Here's what they said they shipped on the sales order. And here's what I actually received at point of delivery, and triangulating those three numbers together to determine here's exactly what I owe on this given invoice, so that I'm not spending a bunch of time doing a lot of different reconciliation across, and a lot of times, multiple storefronts where the accounts payable representative isn't even there. And so if you can actually simplify that problem space, you actually can then automate a lot of those account payable processes through the combination of some of the different payment rails that we've built, as well as some of the automations with the accounting system integrations that we have.
Now, with this, a couple of things that are being brought in for brands and suppliers that this payment on sell through platform has is brands are finally guaranteed to say that they'll get paid for the products they actually sell and no longer need to go and chase down invoices or worrying about bad debt. I mean, really, that is something crucial. And when it comes to what other more mature industries go through, what is it you're comparing it to? You know, what is it they are doing in other industries to make sure that they are getting paid for the products they actually sell? What is it that you're applying into this program?
Yeah, I think there's in other industries, there's much more of a KYB or KYC set of processes where essentially they're underwriting the risk of selling to their retailers. Mm-hmm. And you've seen that happen in cannabis quite a bit, right? And there's plenty of documentation and people who have spent a lot more time than myself on it, but it's pretty clear that whether it's a distributor or a manufacturer or processor or cultivator, when you're selling on terms, you're essentially acting as a bank. You're extending a line of credit where the retailer is meant to pay you based upon the inventory that you've sold at some future date into the future. So it's like a loan. Mm-hmm. So what we've essentially done is created a mechanism where you don't really have an option as a retailer.
right? If you sign up for Post, and there's a ton of benefits for retailers with Post, right? That you're holding your brands accountable. You're making it where your store is automating their actual operations. You're tying your cash flow, your inflows to your outflows, a ton of benefits. But with that comes, you got to give us access to automatically debit your bank account based upon what's sold through. And what we found is a couple things. One, we found there are some individuals, some companies out there that aren't comfortable with that. And the rationale for not being comfortable with that is they owe a lot of different people a lot of money. And so for them to kind of move into this space starts to hold people a bit more accountable. It holds the brand accountable too. Don't get me wrong. I think that's incredibly important to call out. If you're not moving product, you don't get paid, right? You end up giving 60-day terms to everybody. But what we found is it's typically that a retailer has over-purchased or purchased SKUs that are not selling, right? And not knowing that and it just sitting there. There's also great data from the Casas and the Preludes of the world where case studies where you've got 58% of the inventory on the shelf is dead in some instances. You've got instances where you're unlocking $350,000 of just dead inventory in the back storeroom. When you start to look at it, this sheds a light on that much sooner, right? And so you're able to get ahead of those things. And so then the other case that we've seen is where people need to start slow. We'll start with one brand and start paying them, then get their cash flow in a better situation. You bring another brand on and then bring another brand on. And so what we've kind of taken from other industries is I call it a few things. There's a flavor of vendor managed inventory to this where the vendor is also now responsible for making sure that the right product is on the shelf. There's a flavor of, I'll call it the cash flow incentive of a consignment model, though it's, again, not necessarily consignment because you're guaranteed to be paid and title is transferring. There's a flavor of retail inventory management getting tied into this. But all of these different kind of mechanisms are actually being tailored to the nuances of the cannabis industry to allow for buyers to know that when they buy product on LeafLink, their brands are going to stand behind it and that those brands are going to make sure that product's selling through the store. And as a brand, when I sell on LeafLink, I know I'm going to get paid. It's very, very simple in that we're trying to create a level of trust between, it's a bit broken right now between the buyers and the sellers in the space.
Stay tuned. We have more Blunt Business coming up after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Welcome back to Blunt Business, again presented and powered by the Buzz CRM, a one-size-fits-all plan, all-inclusive pricing plan designed to cater to small, medium, and large businesses, providing value and flexibility for growing companies looking to scale their marketing efforts while saving them dollars on marketing subscriptions. With the Buzz, you only need one platform. Go ahead and get yourself a free trial right now, thebuzzcrm.com. So again, I'm here with LeafLink's Chief Product Officer, Matt Hutchison. I want to make a point as well that in previous interviews, when we've talked to LeafLink and I talked to your corporate development manager, Ben Bernstein, about as we're approaching the holiday season right now, as we record this right here in mid-October, that it's one of those things where there is a lot of concern when we talked before about the holiday sales, that when you're looking at what is being produced and manufactured in time for the holiday season, and that why 420 is such a notable holiday for the cannabis industry is because for sales, that is really trying to go ahead and unload the inventory that has been left over from the holiday season that you don't want to have it to perish or expire. You want to try to get that out there and discount it so much you can get it off the shelves and be taken care of. Because you make the point about how important it is for retailers to be able to get their inventory pushed off the shelves. So right now, freeing up capital for dispensaries and retailers so they don't longer have to tie up huge amounts of cash in inventory and they can have capital for other investments and improving cash flow. So talk about that part in terms of, where LeafLink provides the stats that you have just mentioned, specifically you're following along with that on an annual basis, but then also that's why you want the retailers to have this option.
Yeah, it's a really good call out because I think one of the challenges the space faces is if you ask any retailer, how do you think about how you price your product and your margin? And a lot of them keystone it to call it 50% margin. I buy something for 10, I sell it for 20 type model. The challenge to that is if you take that approach and you overbuy and then you end up having to, I'll call it liquidate inventory, sell it for 15 or 20% discount, BOGO it, it really starts to eat into the margins. And if you, you know, if you take away from those margins, you're obviously starting to dig into, you know, your ability to cover the fixed costs of the business, which on the retail side are pretty significant. And so, the way that we look at it, and you know, Post is one solution that we have to free up that working capital. Again, map the cash inflows to the outflows, and sharing with them kind of what those data points look like on an order by order basis. But we're also building a set of solutions that allows them to understand their SKU profiles. If you look at, you know, a given SKU, it really needs to be paying its rent if it's going to be on the shelf. And when I say that, I mean, it's got to move and there's got to be dollar margins tied to it, not simply percentage margins. And so, you know, the solutions that we're continuing to build off of the back of this Post solution, the retail inventory insights that are starting to come out into the market, are really going to shed a light on here's how your inventory is performing. Here's what your ordering cadences should look like on these SKUs. Here are those SKUs you probably should go have a conversation with your brands about. Either they're not moving fast enough, so what kind of marketing are you going to do for me? They're not paying their rent, so what can we do on price points? Or simply, we just need to replace it with a different SKU and get those off the shelf. And don't worry, because we do have great visibility into the broader set of sell-through, we can kind of recommend some replacements based upon whatever type of buying strategy that you're aiming towards. And so no one solution is going to solve all the problems, but we do think that by taking a bit more of a hand-held approach to these buyers, we can start to show them which SKUs they should start to have the conversation about and help them kind of understand where they can start to free up working capital along the way.
Now, so far for people to listen to right now, that Post right now, this system is available right now in Michigan, Mississippi, Colorado. It's being expanded to additional states this year and next, for those who want to know. And that your CEO, Artie Mintz, made the point about how the company's been creating the platform to meet customer needs, resulting in an average of 100,000 orders per month. Now, taking a look from the perspective of both the brands and the retailers, you know, one of the things you're trying to do is you want to help, first of all, give perspective on letting brands know what products are selling best so they can push to retailers. At the same time, you're helping to reduce risks for the retailers so that they're only selling what is performing best. Now, with that, what can you tell me on how you're able to determine that route to work on both sides here? That, you know, the information, as we said, a lot of analytics are being done by Leaflink on a regular basis. And, you know, from what you're seeing right now, I mean, how much can you significantly save on the effort that's being put on certain products that are not performing well and retailers for not having products on the shelf that they're going to have to go and liquidate later?
Yeah. So I'll kind of break it down in a few ways.
Sure.
I think there was something in there around, hey,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
How do you do both, right? How do you help retailers and brands? Where does that conflict live? We actually think that there's not really a conflict. If you help the retailer, it naturally drives a better brand experience. And so when I say that, I mean, if the retailer's margins are healthy, they're going to be able to continue to reinvest in their business and be able to do more buying that they need to do to sell through. So it's actually a good thing for the brands on our platform because the retailers on our platform are buying more. You take that a step further, when we have that visibility, we can provide brands recommendations as well, right? We talked a little bit about the vendor managed inventory aspect of it, but that's very real in that it shows, hey, these SKUs are not selling well in this area. Maybe I need to adjust my forecast. And a great example of that is in Michigan, where a retailer in Ann Arbor really, really struggled to sell prepackaged flour. The brand had no idea that that was a consumer trend in that area. And so by showing them that data through our payment on sell through, they actually adjusted those pricing to get that product off the shelf for the retailer and focused on bulk flour in that area of the market, and have seen growth not just from that store in that area of the market, but also from the other surrounding stores who had similar trends because of the consumer base. So when I say, hey, we're looking to benefit the retailer, it also very much so works upstream. And that's really where the interconnectedness of the supply chain kind of comes to life.
Now, from this and what has worked right now with your customers from both sides, I mean, have you looked at what it has done, without naming names, about what it means significantly for if some of the reasons that come into account as to why particular products, either particular brands, are not working well for other retailers, or the other way around, where retailers are being stuck with a product they can't sell? Is there anything that's being noticed in terms of if it's where it does isolate which brands are not performing best, and also which products maybe that are also not also something they should have on the shelves, they should kind of minimize what is on their menu of products?
Yeah, I think that's really where a lot of the retail insights pieces that I was talking about kind of come into play. You know, what we've built and continue to iterate on and improve is that these retailers need to understand, for a given category, do I have, I'll use like pre-rolls. I have the same pre-roll that's all priced the exact same. Those SKUs are now cannibalizing each other within that store. And we show that to the retailer. What's your pricing strategy here? What is your plan? Take two of those five off the shelf and replace them with a good and a best, because all you've got is better right now.
Right.
And so helping them understand that they've zeroed in on a single consumer and they're leaving dollars on the table from the best group, and potentially leaving ticket sizes on the table for the bottom consumer. So we think there is a ton of opportunity there that, from a retail perspective, again, you get them buying the right things, you start to open up the portfolio a little bit of the different brands that have really, really smart marketing strategies. When I talk about marketing strategies, they've picked out a consumer. They know who their buyer is,
yeah,
their consumer is. But if the retailer is not tailoring their go-to-market approach in accordance with that brand, it becomes really, really challenging for those brands to see growth.
So now what we have to deal with next is learning about what products that maybe shouldn't be on the shelves as well. Has there been anything where, as a result of what you've learned from the analytics, do you ever see where there's certain products and certain brands that a retailer should not take on and thus avoid? I mean, has there been anything where takes into account why a brand doesn't perform well and what warrants them to take it off the shelf?
Yeah. Again, that's all part of like what we're the insights that we're building out, that you know we're getting from this alongside of different point of sale integrations and deeper conversations. But absolutely, right? And like that's kind of what I was getting at in terms of whether it is actually a good SKU, but maybe it's not the best, maybe it's the worst of the five, maybe it does move, but it's actually cannibalistic to the other ones that have better margin profiles.
Right.
Or it's one that has a great margin profile, but it just doesn't move. So you're stuck with that inventory on your shelf. maybe that needs to come off, right? Maybe that 65% margin looks great on paper, but the dollars that it generates for your business are not there. And then there's other SKUs that just simply the right marketing efforts have not been put in. And that's where you just, it sells okay. It's got a good margin profile. It builds a basket size, but brand, give me some bud tender training support. Give me some demo days. Let's work together to start to move this SKU and ultimately, you know, figure out what is that right mix given the consumer set in the market. And I kind of listed out like, maybe it's just a particular SKU doesn't work in a given area. Like college students, they want bulk flour. They want to be able to, they like the deli style of it. They don't want to buy prepackaged. Let's understand who the consumer is, because ultimately something that works here maybe doesn't work on the other side of the state. And those insights are coming through. And I think the other thing I'd add is because of the way that Post is structured, it adds a lot of comfort to both the buyer and the seller. As a buyer, you know what? I'm willing to try this product that I don't have to pay for it until it sells or at day 60. And by that point, I will have already had a conversation with the brand to renegotiate the price points, figure out what the marketing is, et cetera. And as a brand, I'm able to get those SKUs onto more shelves. I'm also able to because I'm guaranteed to get paid at least by day 60, or at worst on day 60, then I'm able to go into stores that maybe I haven't been in the past because I don't know who that buyer is. So we also think that there's a very real way that this is ultimately going to end up with better selection for the consumer, broader growth for the brands, and more and better cash flow for the retailer.
Stay tuned. We have more Blunt Business coming up after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
I'm here with LeafLink's Chief Product Officer, Matt Hutchison. And the story from MJ Biz Daily, which they cited the Whitney Economics study about late payments in the cannabis industry reaching $3.8 billion in 2023. They also cite that there were delinquencies being primarily the result of retailers missing payments to brands, cultivators as stores struggle with cash flow constraints, limited startup capital and federal tax issues, and competition for the illicit market. Now, we haven't gotten into this yet, but here's where we're at in terms of that. While we have states, obviously 23 states that are adult use with a couple more that are looking to go ahead and be passed into ballots. Of course, in the state of Florida, where I'm at, I already went in and put out my mail, UPAL mail and vote ballot to say, yes, I want to go ahead and have recreational or adult use cannabis available in the state of Florida. Hopefully other states, I think it was South Dakota, is also looking into that as well as a measure, but at 38 states with medical. And we still know that, you know, regardless of campaign promises being put out there, I just heard today that the presidential candidate, Vice President Harris, was talking about in terms of a proposal for black males to legalize cannabis, you know, across the board. Don't know what that entails. I know she's put out bills before, but they're vague in terms of what would be done with that. But it's just, again, a campaign promise at
yes.
And we know that Safe Banking Act still remains under discussion in the Senate. Bipartisan support is there. Growing pressure from industry groups and state lawmakers. Optimism it might gain traction. I know they've been trying to be pushed through various defense to the authorization acts and all these other things that are going on.
Yeah.
We know we have the scheduling of cannabis. All these issues that are coming in for Schedule 3, which we're still waiting to get and find out when that's going to be applied and allowed. So with that, you know, your team at LeafLink has been trying to go and do things in help of in helping in the areas of cannabis finance. So not only do you have this payment still on this Post program, but you also have the thing that you most recently had a few months ago where you acquired Dama Financial, offering customers access to a reliable, secure, and compliant banking solution. If you want to know more about Dama Financial, we talked to Patrick O'Boyle, if I believe it was. We talked to him on our Freedom to Buy program last year, October, November. You can look for that. It was one of the most latest episodes we had on that program in that series. And with that, you know, the honest look of finding ways to kind of help alleviate some of the financial pressures and the ongoing issues to do business in the industry, when you look at it overall, is there anything right now that you see is going to be a lever of relief for the industry so far? Do you think that, you know, what proposals are being put out there for legalization? I don't expect it for 3 to 5 years. Again, you need a supermajority of Senate and House for that to be possible. For any of the bills that have been pushed out there, which there are a lot of great bills out there anyway, could be pushed forward. Same thing with safe banking. But then it's like when we're going to find out if it is going to happen to that, we know the sooner relief can come in through rescheduling, where the Section 280E issues, that barrier, that buffer goes away. But what do you see of any of those things that is going to come to help the cannabis industry some way help themselves out from an investment and financial perspective?
Yeah, so I think the two big things right now that we're looking at, I think, are super important to us are around the rescheduling. Mm-hmm. Though we anticipate 2025, we're prepared for longer, and we'll talk about ways in which we'll solve. We're going to try and solve for some of those things,
right?
And then you know, there's some of the stuff around the farm bill and intoxicating hemp that we do think is actually quite detrimental to the regulated operators and states. That is super important. That as you know, we look at it, we better understand what that means for the economics of these businesses. And so those are the two areas that we're hopeful that there's some change in the next 24 months. We'll see kind of what unfolds. We've kind of heard the same things that you've probably heard.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the piece around safe banking, federal legalization, we're kind of, we'll believe it when we see it type mentality. We of course continue to support those initiatives through our efforts, but we've kind of taken a bit more of a proactive approach. And how do we try and solve the biggest pain points of the space while some of these other things that are outside of our control get worked through? It's funny you bring up that Whitney economics report. One of the things that's often missed in that report from when I see it is that 57% say that delinquent payments are more impactful than 280E, right? Which is a big deal, because it indicates that is actually preventing them from paying their bills more so than even the 20% tax burden that's just hitting their top line, you know, in every transaction. And so what we've done with the Dama transaction is it starts to open up quite a few things for us. And so on the surface, we can now expand bank accounts to all of our customers. You know, you've got 10,000 plus retailers on LeafLink. You've got 3,000 plus brands, you know, that all need banking, and many of which are kind of floating under the radar with a more traditional institute. So we offer some solutions there. But I think more importantly is that by having access and through this acquisition to bank accounts, we also now have access to things like smart safes, where we can offer provisional credits based upon what's actually deposited into that safe literally the very next day, freeing up working capital for our retailers, eliminating a lot of the cash constraints in the supply chain. When I started at LeafLink, I started on the logistics business, and we were literally moving $100,000 worth of cash when we pick up product. And it's just not safe. There's all sorts of risk. There's costs that come into it. And so to be able to leverage some of these solutions to offer our customers access to that cash flow faster, to offer them, you know, bank accounts that then we're then able to underwrite the business and offer lines of credit against. We just start to open up quite a bit when you pair some of the payments things we're doing with the banking access that we're providing. Because I think getting that cash flow moving as soon as possible is the only way to kind of get in front of if things don't go our way from a legislative perspective.
But until then, I think, and this is something I'm going to probably do as a monologue for Blunt Business down the line, because of the fact of to look at the efforts that the cannabis industry within, from companies like LeafLink, that have gone in, because it's amazing how expansive the industry is right now and the portfolio of services that companies are providing. And we've talked to so many companies here on Blunt Business and Grassroots Marketing about that. Because when I go ahead and I think about the fact, okay, for digital payment platforms, fintech solutions, you could say there's cashless payments, ACH transfers, e-check solutions, digital wallets, point of banking solutions, cryptocurrency, you know, using Bitcoin and blockchain to go along with that, specialized banking, credit union partnerships. I know we have some people are going to be coming on to talk about that very soon. In terms of banking services, cannabis-focused payment processes, we talked about that alone, specific lending and financing options, when it comes to debt financing, real estate loans, working capital, insurance solutions for cannabis businesses, expansion of banking services with a potential Safe Banking Act passage, making thinking that maybe within the next year or so, we might see something come in, social equity financing programs, venture capital, private equity investment. It's all been done alone from the industry without any help from anybody else for 10 years plus so far. So in the perspective of LeafLink, Matt, as we go ahead and close this out, what is it that LeafLink should go ahead and plans to go ahead and look at, and what's the time frame they have before they think they might have something that will already come in from a government level or some other legislative body that will come in and say, okay, here's some of the relief that you're looking for? When LeafLink's looking at innovating and designing and improving on products, how much of a time frame is there for them for there to keep doing it? I mean, do you feel like there's going to be still room to continue to improve and grow from a private perspective than waiting for some kind of government perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question that I think, you know, one that we get asked quite frequently. It's like, well, if you've acquired a banking as a service provider, you know, what if Safe Banking passes? We think it's additive, right? At the end of the day, we want to build solutions that help solve the nuances of the cannabis industry. And so whether or not the regulation walls come down, whether or not Safe Banking passes, there will always be unique challenges to the cannabis industry. And similar to there's always going to be unique challenges to whether it's the alcohol industry or grocery retail or CPG. Like, there's always nuances to every specific industry. So let's focus in on the things that are specific and nuanced around cannabis. And then let's find creative ways in the short term that can solve some of those. And when Safe Banking passes, all that means is that we're going to be able to provide even better solutions for those problems because we have more capital providers behind us. We can lower costs and we can lower price points so that we can provide access to better underwriting solutions. Those things are, in my mind, just simply additive to the business, not a replacement. So we think about, let's solve the durable problems of cannabis. Let's do it in the way that positions us for long-term success. But let's also get super creative in how we can solve these problems, given the solutions that we have, and given the access that we have. And I'd say that cannabis is probably one of the more innovative industries that flies under the radar in terms of the different solutions that are being offered out there. I think when the industry is able to kind of look up for a minute and look around the room, the retailers may be more sophisticated than more traditional retailers because of the supply chain systems that we've been able to build. And similarly, upstream in the supply chain, it may be a more automated supply chain than industries that have been around for 100 years. And that's because we're building on the back of technology from the get-go rather than trying to retrofit the solutions that are available today. And we're doing it in a way that anybody that is in the industry can access, whereas many other industries, spend a ton of money. The big players spend a ton of money building these proprietary in-house offerings that only they can access, giving them a bit of a moat to prevent others from entering the space and taking market share. The tech providers in this space have innovated in a way that is making those solutions available to all. And, you know, what I'm super excited about creating a bit of an equitable space to be a part of.
Let's go and direct people over to the website, LeafLink, leaflink.com, LeafLink.com. Again, the nation's leading wholesale cannabis platform. Just talking about payment on sale through, first of a kind payment option for cannabis wholesale, guaranteeing payments to brands as retailers pay for what they sell. So for those that want to go and learn more about LeafLink, obviously we talked about the analytics, we talked about the forms of payments you're offering right now in this payment on sell through program. What should they be doing when they go to the website? How they can get themselves involved and sign up?
Yeah, so once you navigate to the website, go to our solutions tab, find payments, and it's right there for you to click through. Get in touch with our accounts management team, get you signed up quickly. The onboarding process is super simple. Plug in your API key, link your bank account through a secure provider plaid, and boom, you're up and running literally within 15 minutes. And so would love to solve as many of these problems as we can for the space. It starts with just a quick log on and an onboarding call.
And just so you know, too, as well, there's also some testimonials through the fact of you've had companies that have already jumped on board so far, and they've talked about improving data quality that's happened as a result, boosting savings and accelerating payments. So obviously things working well. If you need to get proof of this in the pudding, and you can find out more again at leaflink.com. Again, Matt Hutchison, Chief Product Officer at LeafLink. Thanks for being on the program. Really appreciate you taking time out.
Likewise. Thank you, Brasco.
Hey, no worries. And thank you for listeners for always listening in. Of course, make sure to go and download and either like, share, subscribe, go through to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and other places. And we'll talk to you next time. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.